Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's pray and we'll get started. We're talking about divine healing. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is given to us as our teacher. He brings all things to our remembrance. He shows us things to come. He's the one who gives us enlightenment. Lord, the entrance of your word gives light. So we just believe you. We ask you for the right words, for the right illustrations, for boldness to speak as we ought to speak. Lord, to speak your truth in love. And that as your word goes forth, Lord, you said you sent your word and you healed us. Lord, you said in Proverbs that your word is health and medicine to all our flesh. So, Father, as we read your words and seed your words in our hearts, we'll be careful to watch over it and keep it. We know that you'll do your part as we do ours, and we expect great things to come from you and by your Holy Spirit and by your resurrection power. We thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't read this to you. This is from Foundations of Pentecostal Theology. This is the Pentecostal Theology book for the Four Square. And I want to read this to you. It is a remarkable thing and one worthy of a great deal of consideration that Jesus healed everyone who came to him or who was brought to him for healing. In addition to the great variety of individual needs that were presented to him, there were those times, as we have noted above, when there must have been huge multitudes of sick folk brought to him, yet he never turned one of them aside. He never refused to heal anyone. You would expect that there might have been a few or even one to whom he would say, "I am sorry, it is not my will or my Father's will to heal you." Never once do you read of the least suggestion of this sentiment. One would have expected that if it is not God's will to heal all who come to him for healing in the church age, there would have been some suggestion of this in the ministry of Jesus. Yet, how unfortunate that such was not the case. For if Jesus had for some reason or other refused even one, millions of those who seek healing and do not immediately receive it would claim exemption on the basis of that one. On the basis of that one. Now, there are groups that have looked for reasons why. And many times what I've found is that the reasons are just experience reasons, not scripture reasons. There are reasons why that people, and we'll eventually probably get into some of these. We'll see some of it as we go. But there are reasons why sometimes people don't receive healing. But the answer to these, to any question that we have as believers is found in the Word. It's not found in our experience. I can prove from experience that it's not God's will to save everyone. Oh yeah, I made a strong statement. I can prove it by experience. Now, I can't prove it by the Word, but I can prove it by experience. Does that make sense? And so we got to watch that. We got to watch out for, you know, those little thoughts that try to come in that try and turn you away from what the Word says. You know, and I've said this before, and I want to say it again. The devil is not so much impressed with you. He's not necessarily after just you. Now, he doesn't like you. He doesn't like anybody. He doesn't even like himself. He's full of hate. He's full of lies. He's full of confusion, anger, death, all those things. His entire heart motive is to steal, kill, and destroy. But he is scared of one thing very much, and that's the Word. Very much. Because he has experienced through the years, as the ages have gone on, those who have gotten close to God and experienced God and believed that God wanted to do things on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that just wrinkles him, you know what I mean? I mean, that gives him more wrinkles than he knows what to do with. He doesn't know what to do with a Christian who knows who they are. He doesn't know what to do other than to try and get them off track or get them out of fellowship with God, because that's what makes them ineffective. And so through your day and through the course of your day, and sometimes people think, well, I have all these things going wrong. Why, you know, why is the devil picking on me? Well, if you're getting resistance, that's good. If you're not aware that there is a devil, something's probably wrong. Because I'll just say this, any old dead fish can float downstream. Right? I mean, it takes muscle to go upstream. It takes life to go upstream. And it is the nature of your flesh to want to be just sometimes just go, you know, I just don't want to have to deal with this anymore. You know, just leave me alone, please. You know, but we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's where our strength comes from, casting our care over on Him because He cares for us. I was listening to a teaching. I've listened to it several times, but I really like it. But it was on Paul's thorn in the flesh. And we'll get into that too eventually here. And I was listening to it. And, you know, in most translations of the Bible, the emphasis is the thorn. But if you read that passage, the emphasis from the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit was God's grace. See, even though the enemy tried to stop Paul from accomplishing what he was called to do with the revelation that God had given him, he overcame by God's grace. So our answer is the same thing for us. In this life, Jesus said, you will have trouble. We just finished this whole series. And a lot of times people don't want to hear about that. They want their problems. They think God is just, you know, real Christianity is not just flowery beds of ease. Okay, that's not real Christianity. Real Christianity has real problems, but it has real solutions. Okay, so as Christians, we're facing everything the world is. It's just we have an answer. We have grace. We have God's ability to overcome these situations. And Paul made this statement. The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient. God did not tell him, Paul, I hope you make it. Good luck. You know what I mean? He didn't say any of that. He said, my grace is sufficient. What does sufficient mean? It means enough. That means whatever you're facing, there's a grace that's enough. We just have to tap it by faith, right? We have to tap it by faith. And so what we're doing is we're looking at healing, instances of healing, and there are tons of them. And I just, every week I look at more and I'm thinking, Lord, how many of these do we want to do? But I don't think we can overdose on this. You know what I mean by that? You know, some things you don't want too much of. But God's Word, I'm pretty sure you can't get too much of that. I'm pretty sure. I've never been able to do it. Now, I've read the Word. I've sat down and read the Word at times just until I'm full. You know, this is a lost thing, it seems like, in the church. Because there's been so many, and I guess I blame the devotions, I don't know. But there's been so many devotion books that have come out, and there are great devotion books. But people don't just sit down and read the Word for a couple hours at night anymore. Boy, if you did that, you'd get answers to problems and solutions to issues left and right. You would. Because what the Lord does with me when I sit down and read, or when I'm reading and looking at things in Scripture, and I'm just reading just to read, you know what I mean? Have you ever, when I first got saved, I didn't pray because I had to. I prayed because I wanted to. You know what I mean? I prayed because I wanted to have fellowship with God. And sometimes we get into so many regulations and so many, and we have programs and things, and there is an intentional purpose. But like, we have a reading program, a one-year Bible reading program. But the intention of it is to not turn you into a religious Bible reader. It's so you hear from God and you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit through His Word. And He's showing you things. And you're learning things. And the Holy Spirit is teaching you as you read. And you're getting answers and solutions, not only for yourself, but then for others around you as well. And light's coming into your life. Your life is becoming brighter and brighter because you're seeing more of the source of light in your life. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to some of the old-time Pentecostals. They knew what they were doing. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They really did. I mean, I read some of the old stuff that some of the ministers did, or even the stories that Brother Hagin would tell us that the ministers would do. and how they would wait on the Lord and take time. I mean, busyness in our world is a huge issue. Overly, I mean, you can't even, people, parents, you can't even sit down, you know, for 10 minutes because we're doing this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. And we don't just shut everything. I mean, cell phones I thought were the coolest invention until recent years. When they came out, I was like, oh, this is great. Now it's like, leave me alone. You know, I'm going to throw this somewhere. Call me on my landline. You know what I mean? You know, the dial, you know? You know, it's like, my kids look at that thing and go, what is this? You know? Well, back in the Stone Ages, that's what we used to call people on. So, but anyway, there is something to that of just fellowshipping with the Lord and just being with Him, you know, and that takes faith. But if you open your heart even a little bit, He'll meet you. I know from experience, He'll meet you and you'll get full of the Word and you'll start to not care about certain things. Little things that bug you, whether about people or whatever, it just, you won't care. Because you get close enough to Him, and it's like, well, so they drove through the church parking lot at high speed, spitting gravel everywhere. Glory to God, in a black truck, yeah. You know, I mean, they broke a window. Okay, we'll fix the window. Yep. I always get another window pane. You know, obviously this person needs Jesus. They're just not stopping long enough for us to talk to them. You know? Well, yeah, we'll do something. All right, Luke 14. Let's talk about the man who had dropsy, who was healed. Luke 14, verse 1. We'll look at a couple of instances here and Luke 14, verse 1 says, "Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold," this is the religious leaders were watching him closely, "and behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" I love this. Jesus setting people up. "But they kept silent. And he took this man with dropsy," Jesus did, "and healed him and let him go." I love that. That's just like Jesus. There's a disease there. I know. Let's heal him. Is it lawful on the Sabbath? Ah, who cares? That guy's in pain. Let's fix him. That's how God thinks. Now, if we got to watch this, because we got to watch this legalistic spirit, because when you know information, it has a tendency to puff you up if you don't know, if you don't fellowship closely with the spirit behind the information. Does that make sense to you? So in other words, God is love. So why do you have truth? Truth is a sword. Well, I mean, sword can do some serious stuff, right? But it can also do some serious good. And whether you, with the truth that you have, you'll either do good, what you produce out of that truth will either be good or harmful, depending on the motivation by which you use it. Does that make sense? Because the Lord says, speak the truth in love. So Jesus healed the man with dropsy. Dropsy is a painful disease in which, because of kidney trouble or heart ailment or other disease, whatever it is, the tissues fill with water. So they call it dropsy. I don't know if that's because of how it looks. It must be, partly because of that. So what did Jesus do in this case? He healed this man. Then he answered them, Jesus said, then he answered them saying, "Which one of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. Let me read this to you in the Passion Translation. It says this: "One day Jesus was on his way to dine with a prominent Jewish religious leader for a Sabbath meal. Everyone was watching him to see if he would heal anyone on the Sabbath. Just then, standing right in front of him was a man suffering with his limbs swollen with fluid. That's what dropsy is, swollen with fluid. Jesus asked the experts of the law and the Pharisees who were present, is it permitted with the law to heal a man on the Sabbath day? Is it right or wrong? No one dared to answer him. So Jesus turned to the sick man, took hold of him, and released healing to him, then sent him on his way. I like the way that says that. So what did Jesus do? Well, we know that healing can be administered through what? The laying on of hands, yeah. So he took hold of the man and released healing into him. Isn't that interesting? God heals through people. Now, God's the healer. You understand that? We'll have to look at this sometime. Actually, Rick brought this up. He was talking about the anointing, and it got me thinking about that because we haven't had a lot of, you don't hear a lot of teaching on the anointing anymore or what that is. But the anointing, if you read through the scriptures, the anointing actually was in Jesus' clothes. Isn't that interesting? If you even think about it, Paul put his hands on cloth. They wrapped that cloth up and sent it somewhere, and the person was healed. Demons came out of people. Isn't that interesting? So the healing anointing, what this man experienced was, the healing anointing is obviously in Jesus. Jesus is a healer, okay? Obviously. And that anointing is in him, and through faith, Jesus operating in faith, and grabs the man and releases into him the anointing, the healing anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that anointing hits that dropsy, and for whatever, you know, we read earlier, talking about it, this disease is caused by something with the heart or the kidneys or something like that, that anointing goes into that man's body, fixes the kidney or the heart, whatever the issue is, and the disease leaves. Because of the power, the healing power of God. And that's how healing works. Now, what's interesting about this is if you start taking this into New Testament and New Covenant and who we are in Christ and the Great Commission and all of those things, you carry that ability inside of you by the very fact that you're born again. Because the Scripture says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. And that Spirit quickens and makes alive your mortal body. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, down the list, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, these signs shall follow them who believe. All it takes is a little bit of faith. Now, not even a lot of faith. Jesus said, mustard seed faith. You ever seen a mustard seed? And not very big. What most people do is they get in their head. Is it going to work? I don't know. Jesus didn't ask you to think about whether it was going to work or not. He just said, do it. And you don't have to be fancy. You know what I mean? I'm okay with fancy preachers. It doesn't bother me. You know, I like all of them. You know, it doesn't matter. I've met guys that are, you'll never know, who have had amazing miracles in their ministry. And I've been around guys that you've seen on TV. I've driven them around. And they've had amazing miracles. And they're fancy. You know what I mean by fancy? They got a real nice suit or everything, you know? But that's not what makes them anointed. What makes a person anointed is when they receive Christ. And then that anointing rests. You would pray for healing anywhere. I watched a lady the other day on a video with, anybody ever heard of Todd White? Is it Todd White? I think it's Todd White. The dreadlock preacher. See, anybody can lay hands on him. God doesn't care if you got dreadlocks. He'll use you if you're willing. This lady's walking around praying for people, and she's carrying an oxygen tank behind her with an oxygen thing on her face. She's praying for people for healing. How? What better way to irritate the devil? I mean, I cannot think of a better way. The devil's going, I'm going to kill you. I'm just going to go pray for people. I mean, not in the healing line at church, at the basketball game they were at, on the streets, wherever they're at. They're just, you know, release the love of God wherever they're at. And that's how the anointing comes, though. It will come. It doesn't just come on you. I mean, there are times I've had the anointing come on me, but you can lay hands on anybody anytime. You don't need a special anointing. Jesus said, do it. All you got to do is believe and then go ahead. Amen? And God will do his part. Don't worry about God doing, you know what I mean? Let God do his part. Don't worry about that. You just do what you're supposed to do. It'll bless you. Jesus said to them all, look at God's heart in this. If one of your children or one of your animals fell into a well, wouldn't you do all you could to rescue them even if it was a Sabbath day? I love what Jesus says here. He's pointing out the hardness of these religious leaders' heart. He's basically looking at him and go, look, you love an animal more than you love this man. And what he's doing is he's correcting these religious leaders and at the same time revealing God's heart toward mankind. How does God see your situation? I know we say this and sometimes, you know, it takes a revelation of the Spirit to really get it. But God cares more about your situation than you do. Way more. He cares so much about you that he was willing to give his son's life for you. So what is healing, right? I mean, he gave up Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give you all things? What does all things mean? All things. All things. He is that. This is God's heart. He's saying, look, don't be hard-hearted. Think about it this way. If your child was in danger, what would you do to help him? That's God's perspective towards you. That's how God looks at you. You see that? And I know, I mean, you gotta kind of stir it up. You think, what would I do? Well, I know what I would do. I know what I would do for my kids. You know what I mean? I mean, if somebody's trying to harm my kids, my family, I mean, my family knows. You know, I can move mountains if I need to, you know? I will. I've done it before. You know? Why? Because it's my family. I'm responsible for it. I love my family. I'm willing to die for my family. God was willing that Jesus die for you. So that same love heals. That same love heals. As we have open hearts and we're, yes, Lord, and our minds are renewed, then that opens us up to that healing anointing and it works. It works. Amen? It works. If you have a minister, if you know ministries or you have a minister who's trying to talk you out of healing, you know you better back up. You know what I mean? Put up that shield of faith and say, whoa, 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 wait, 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 wait. Why are you trying to tell me this? And what scriptures are you standing on? Because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by experience. It comes by scripture. Okay? So I'm reminded of a gentleman that was asking another minister. This man needed healing in his body, and the guy said, well, I won't receive healing in my body. And the other minister said, well, what makes you say that? He said, well, I had a vision. And he said, I was praying about healing for my body, and this light entered into my room, and I couldn't see from the waist up, but I saw the feet of this angel, or he thought it was the Lord, walk into the room and say, it is not my will to heal you. This was the vision that the person had. Well, that seems pretty substantial, don't you think? And so this minister was kind of like, well, no, you know, that's not how we... So he said this. He said, well, you believe that salvation is for every person, right? And he said, oh, yeah, I do. And he said, how do you know that? And he starts giving him the scriptures. He said, but what if I told you that there was a person that I knew that was praying about whether God wanted them to be saved or not, and they had a vision of an angel that came in the room, and this angel said to him, it is not the Lord's will that they save you. He said, well, I would tell them that it was wrong. Of course, now this minister's got this guy, right? He said, so why are you doing that with healing? He goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. What we do as humans and Christians, because I know I've experienced these things too. What we do is we weigh our experience and how we feel against what God said, and then we see if it changes before we believe it. Do you know that's not faith? See, faith will do this. It'll go, Lord, you said it. I believe it. And then your thoughts, your friends, your family members, your emotions, the enemy, they'll come to you and say, it didn't work. It's not true. See? And then they'll point out the circumstance. But faith doesn't move by circumstance. Faith moves by obedience to the word. Yeah, well, I don't see it yet, devil, but I will. Because the Lord said. And if you just stay with that, God will do his part. He'll do his part. And then when it comes to, then when it's seen, you ever heard the story about Sister Goiter? No. People are like, I don't want to hear about a goiter. I read this, Smith Wigglesworth. Everybody familiar with Smith Wigglesworth? If you're not. Anyway, he was a preacher years ago. He had a lot of miracles happen in his ministry. A great man of faith. And he would go minister at this particular area or church. He did it for like 3 years or more in a row. And there they would have testimony services. This is back in the day, you know. If Pentecostals thought if you didn't have a testimony service that you were backslid. So people would get up and testify in the service. I'd just like to thank the Lord that I was saved in 1942. And I was baptized in the Holy, you know, and then people are doing this thing. And this lady gets up who's got this big goiter on her neck. And she said, I'd just like to thank the Lord. Brother Smith laid hands on me like 2 weeks ago. And when he did, I was healed of this goiter. I praise the Lord that I'm healed. I'm so thankful that I'm healed. And people are in the service going, what in the world is wrong with that lady? You know who's really got the problem, right? All the people in the pews. Okay? So, because they don't understand faith. So, a year goes by. Smith Wigglesworth is back. They have another testimony service. Lady gets up. Goiter's there as golden as ever, okay? Just sitting there. Lady says, I'd just like to praise the Lord. Brother Smith laid hands on me last year, and I was healed of this goiter. It's healed. I just thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. People are like, man, somebody's got to talk to her. Another year goes by. Smith was back again. They have a testimony service. Guess who testifies? Sister Goiter. This is back before people were overly sensitive. Okay. So she gets up, testifies, and somebody had said something to her. Look, that goiter's still there. And it kind of bothered her, of course. So she goes home that night and she says, Lord, help all these people see what we see. She woke up in the morning and the goiter was gone. Why? Because faith sees before it sees. We walk by faith, not by. And when our hearts and our minds align with the Word of God and we do what He asks us to do, not out of a religious rote, but out of a true heart of sincerity to Him, He moves on our behalf. And you end up in a place where the word manifests in your life. Listen, we have all done this in this room. If you've been born again, you've done it. It's just that process of faith is not often taught beyond that step. It's just not. Because, you know, Christianity is about fire insurance. I'm not going to hell when I die. You know what I mean? I got fire insurance, man. Yeah. in church. I'm born again. What does that mean? That means when I die, I go to heaven. No, being born again means heaven moved into you. You got to love that fire insurance. Let's go to Luke 17, the healing of the 10 lepers. Fire insurance. I mean, I'm thankful I'm not going to hell, believe me. But Jesus, and you know, Oral Roberts years ago used to get so much grief because he'd say, God is good. And God wants to do something good for you. Oh, people get so upset. Why does he say that? Well, God is good. And he wants to do something good. You know? He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. God is not looking to kill you. He's looking to give you life and life more abundantly. You know? I mean, get close to the guy, would you? Right? Just get close to him. All right, Luke 17. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? All right, so let's go back up to the top and take a look at this. So Jesus enters this area, this town, and there are 10 lepers there, and they stood afar off, and they were yelling at him. The Bible says they lifted up their voice, which means to raise up, to raise upward, or to elevate their voices. So they're yelling, okay? And said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When it comes to, you know, this is something where Scripture is an interesting thing because it exposes all of our ideas and then kind of crumples them up, you know, what we think God's like or what we think church should be like or what we think services should be like or what we think Christianity should be like. I notice here that Jesus didn't say, gentlemen, don't yell. No need to yell. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't even mention that, you know? I mean, they're in an open, you know what I mean? But I'm not saying that we should just be disorderly for the sake of it, but there are times where you get passionate about what you need with the Lord. Amen? I mean, God's not stuffy. You know, I heard a minister say one time he was in a meeting and he was a Baptist and then he got filled with the Spirit, so he got the left foot of fellowship from the Baptist. That means he got kicked out. And he went over among the Pentecostals and they were praying around the altar and they're really loud, you know, praying loud, you know. And he'd look at him and say, he looked at all these Pentecostals and he said, look, he said, God's not deaf. And they looked at him and said, yeah, and he's not nervous either. In other words, God understands your humanity. He's touched with the feeling of it. He experienced all of it when he came to earth, when Jesus came. He knows where you're at. And these men, even though they were loud, even though they were yelling, even though they had lifted their voice, he heard their heart. So they're standing to the side going, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. Now, you got to think about this. This is leprosy. You ever seen what leprosy does? You know, we don't know much about it here because we just don't have a lot of it here. But it eats body parts off. I would tell you to go Google it, but don't. Yeah, if you're squeamish, don't. If you don't care, go ahead. I mean, I've seen pictures of leprous people that don't have a nose. Okay? Because the disease is like a flesh-eating disease, is what it is. And so, from what I understand, it's contagious. I mean, I don't understand all the rules on it, okay? But it's contagious. So is healing, though, just so you know. You know, everybody, oh, it's cold season. Well, it's also healing season. You know? It's also healing season. Okay, so anyway, you can wash your hands till you're blue in the face. Come on. You're saying don't wash our hands. I did not say that. Please, take a shower. But listen, don't live in fear. Well, I can't touch that door handle. Why? Somebody might have touched it who didn't wash their hands. I guarantee you. Somebody touched that door handle that didn't wash their hands. I guarantee it. You understand what I'm saying, though? I mean, it could be, you can't live in fear. You can't live in fear. Don't give in to that. So these men have leprosy. They're standing afar off, okay? And they cry out to Jesus. It wasn't quiet. It was enough to where Jesus had attention. He got his attention. Because this is, Jesus had groups follow him. So they had to be loud about it, and they did. And these men, the reason why they stood afar off is because these men were not permitted to go near anybody because of the law. They're unclean. They literally, and this is in more than one case, this applies to the woman with the issue of blood as well, but they literally, as lepers, if they were in a group, they often had colonies and stuff like that. They had groups where they all got together because they didn't want to be alone. And they already had leprosy, so what difference did it make, right? Well, anyway, they would have to say, if they were in an area, unclean. They'd have to yell it. Why? So other people knew so they could avoid them. Isn't that interesting? I mean, if you look at the law and then what Jesus' ministry did, and you know how much of the law they violated. You think about the leper that ran up to Jesus. If you're willing, you can make me clean. I'm willing, be clean. All the other people, I've watched, dramatizations of these things. Some of them are pretty good. But when this leper runs up to Jesus, you know what everybody else does? Whew, scatter. What does Jesus do? I can reverse that. He's not afraid. You can become so confident in the Lord, you're not afraid. Now, you got to grow in it. You know what I mean? You got to grow in it. But grow in it. Right? So they have this disease. They have to stand away and cry out unclean. But in this case, I find this interesting. They weren't standing back going, unclean. They were going, mercy. They're not declaring their problem. They're declaring their answer. They're going, mercy, Lord. Give us mercy. I heard that you healed other lepers. I receive it. I want it. Give it to me. There's a lot of things that happen here, and this is just some of it, but this is a demonstration, this whole thing is a demonstration of the Lord's healing mercies. Healing mercies. In other words, the people in Jesus' day, many of them understood the deep love and compassion that Jesus showed toward people. And even if they didn't feel like they had faith, they would run close based on the fact that I know he loves people. And that was enough to spark in them a hope and an expectation that out of that mercy and love and compassion, he may reach out to me and touch me. And if he does, this will be over. I think we're going to see a massive outpouring of God's healing mercies before this is all said and done. His compassions. I've studied it before. The Bible says he was moved with compassion and whole multitudes were healed. Whew, in one shot. But that's what happened here. They started crying out for his mercy. So when he saw them, verse 14, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And the word cleansed means purified and made clean. That means that he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And they went, okay. And as they're going, leprosy starts dying in their body. And healing anointing starts flowing in their body. And everything that was eating them up just stops. And now they're clean. Listen, they're so clean, they realize it. They realize it stopped. It's different. I'm different now. The power of God hit to the point where they went, it's different. I'm different. Come on. What about the woman with the issue of blood? She felt in her body that she was healed. Oh, man. All because they reached out. They cried out in mercy. And the Lord is a healer. He's a deliverer. So here's how this healing takes place. They cry out for healing mercies. Then they hear the words of Jesus, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Under the Old Testament, you would do this to prove that you no longer had leprosy. You'd go to the priest, and the priest would clear you. Yep, you're clean. Go ahead and go back. And there were lepers healed in the Old Testament. Then you could return to the rest of the healthy population. Now listen to this. And be able to return to the temple of God to worship. That's the bigger deal here. These guys couldn't even go into the temple to worship. What did Jesus say? "Come into my presence." "Well, you're leprosy, you're out, you're unclean." He goes, "Clean, come back in." He's getting them back in. What the religious leaders put out, Jesus goes out, finds, puts back together, you know, patches it, fixes the clay, that's what you are. Yeah, he just put the arm back on, you know. It's like Mr. Potato Head for the Lord. He just looks at us and goes, "Hey, that's not where that goes." Okay, all right, you're welcome. Come on back in. Okay. We have illustrations for all ages here at Faith Family Church. And he invites them back into the presence of God, into the temple. I love that. So as they're going, it's an action of faith in line with Jesus' words. Listen to this. As you are reading the Word of God on healing, you should expect the Holy Spirit to prompt you to do things in faith. I love that point. When the Lord told me that last night, I'm like, yeah, that's good. Only you could think of that, Lord. I mean, when you're reading the Word, have you ever done this? I've done this so many times. I'll be reading the Word, and I'm having a problem or something that I'm dealing with, and the Lord will say, and I'll be reading the Word, and all of a sudden, boom, I know what to do. And I'm like, I know what I'm doing. And I do it, and it works every time. You know, it's like Debbie was telling me, "Lord, we need," she works at the rescue mission. She's cooking for all these turkey dayers. Thanksgiving coming up. She's like, "Lord, we need potatoes." How many pounds of potatoes did you end up getting? 300 pounds of potatoes. Why? The Lord knows. It's like, potatoes. We can do potatoes. I made potatoes. Yeah, we need something, Lord. And he gives it. Verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, cured, made whole, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God." He didn't, "Thank you, Lord. You're so good. I was falling apart, and you put me back together." No, loud voice. Now, I love this. I'm going to bring something out here I think you'll enjoy. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. When you are healed by the Lord, it is time to glorify God and give thanks to him. We should be unashamed to declare our gratitude to the Lord when he does good for us. Glory to God. You know, people be cursing everything that's around them, and you just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that'll be weird. No, they're weird. You're normal. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I had leprosy. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. And be grateful about it. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10? In other words, he expects you to say thank you. That's what that says to me right there. You better say thank you. You know? Were there not 10? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So then the Samaritan returns. Apparently the rest were Jews. And they didn't even know how to say thank you. They don't have leprosy anymore. They're thinking about themselves. Oh, I got it, you know. Verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word well means to be made whole. So, where the other 9, and it doesn't say this for sure, and I couldn't find anything in a commentary, but it made sense to me when I looked it up, when I studied the words. It's a flesh-eating disease, right? Leprosy. He was made whole. What does that mean? Got my nose back. Got my fingers back. Got my ears back. And people sometimes think, well, now how could that be? Jesus healed the maimed. Do you know what a maimed person was? They met a lion in the road. They lost a limb. And Jesus put it back. I was watching a minister one time, and he was reading testimonies about people who had lost toes, and the toe grew back. He had a word of knowledge. You lost a toe. I don't remember how they lost the toe, but they lost the toe, and they said the toe started growing, it had grown back. There was a man, let me see if I want to do my last one. There's always next week. So there was a man who, I was listening to a guy who was talking about living a long life for the, you know, living till you're satisfied. And he was studying on people that had lived a long life. There was a gentleman who lost and regrew 3 sets of teeth. They grew back. He believed God. And they asked him, you know, what's your secret? He said, chew Prince Albert tobacco and believe God. I don't know if I recommend the first part, but I do recommend the second. What's interesting is, and medical science will tell you this, most people's issues physically are because of worry. Every time. If you just relax, your system will relax. And I'll tell you what, there's only one way to really rest, and that's to be close to the Lord. Because you're going to have lots of things that you have to deal with. I mean, that are going to come your way. You understand what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean you have to carry the care of it. The devil comes to you, what are you going to do about it? You just say, not my responsibility. It's the Lord's. Lord, you got a bill. You got mail. Nope, I'm not going to do any of it. I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. I'm going to walk close to Him. And then when I'm done, I'm going to go to heaven. That's it. The rest of it, let's just rest. It's simple. Sometimes I feel like at times that in the church world, this is just me, okay? This is just me speaking from looking from my small perspective, okay? But I feel like we get so bogged down in and overly focused on principles that we've forgotten about relationship. And if you look at, like, when I study and look at and read about the old-time Pentecostal preachers and stuff like that, or the old-time, you know, when I hear testimonies and things about these ministers from years ago and read about them and stuff, basically, they didn't have a lot of really in-depth teaching. They just knew the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord, yeah. And he can just tell you, do this, don't do this. And you don't, he won't, it isn't a difficult thing. It's just, yeah, I'm gonna do this. This is what the Lord told me to do. This is what the Lord told me to do. I'm gonna do this. And people may think you're nuts, people may not like it. People may go, well, that's not, that violates the 24 principles of, and you go, I don't know what to tell you. The Holy Spirit told me to do this. It doesn't violate the word. And then you do it, and God does his part. Amen? And that's where our answers are in him. The Lord knows everything about everything. He knows how to cook 300 pounds of potatoes. If you can ask the Lord for potatoes and he provides them, you can ask the Lord for wisdom on how to prepare them. Right? He knows how to make your baking taste even better. Because he cares about it all. Right? He's the best interior decorator you've ever met. I know people think, well, no, he doesn't care about that. He cares about everything. You're his kid. Cares about it all. Amen? Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. Lord, bless your people. Thank you, Father, that this word is seated in us, and we'll protect it. We'll watch over it. We'll not let the enemy take it from us. And Lord, we know that the blessing comes as we obey. And so, as we are hearers, we're not going to just hear, but we're going to be doers as well, and we'll be blessed in what we do. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.